I think that there's so much pressure in the medical profession to fall in line, you know, with, you know, the standard of care, and the standard of care from the very beginning throughout the mouth of Dr. Anthony Fauci has been vaccinate, vaccinate, vaccinate. There's so much inertia around this lie regarding the vaccine that it's very, very difficult for medical professionals.
Of the New American Magazine. As the effort to vaccinate the entire global population continues, with a special emphasis on children, it becomes imperative to gain a clear understanding of the risks and benefits associated with vaccines. The obvious question arises, how do the health outcomes of those who are vaccinated compare to those who are not? The United States government would not give an answer to that. So why not let science speak? Today, I'm delighted to speak with Dr. Brian Hooker, a Senior Director of Science and Research at Children's Health Defense and a Professor Emeritus of Biology at Simpson University in Redding, California. Dr. Hooker is also a co-author of the best-selling book, Vax on Vax, Let the Science Speak, which achieved New York Times bestseller status just 11 days after its release. Dr. Hooker, welcome, and thank you so much for joining me.
Well, thank you so much for having me on your show, Veronica. It's really a pleasure.
Absolutely. Doctor, firstly, could you share your reaction to the remarkable success of your book? How do you explain it?
Well, Bobby and I are so excited regarding the news for the New York Times bestsellers list. I heard directly from the publisher, and he left a voicemail saying, you know, you're now a New York Times bestselling author. And you know, that's it's absolutely incredible. We're very happy that word is getting out. We want as many people as possible to be able to read the book. And so it was completely affirming of the work that this is really a compilation of about 4 years work between Mr. Kennedy and I. And so I couldn't be happier. I really, like I said, I really want people to read the book.
Why do you think people are so interested in this specific topic?
Well, the government has never really looked at the outcomes of completely unvaccinated children versus completely vaccinated children. And it seems like a no-brainer. But I think that because we included that information in the book, there's an entire chapter. Chapter two is devoted to the vaccine schedule. And then looking at, you know, this sort of elusive group, according to the federal government, the unvaccinated. And you know, we really found a huge difference in the health outcomes. We found that unvaccinated children in general, in terms of chronic diseases, as well as infectious diseases, were healthier. And so, you know, I think that that's a really, really surprising finding. And we've been told for such a long time by the CDC, by the DHHS, you know, stay up to date on your vaccines, get your infants and children vaccinated. And but they've never themselves looked at these long-term health outcomes. So I think it's very, very surprising. And that's one of the reasons why there's so much interest in the book.
Yes, of course. And talking about new vaccines and staying up to date with your vaccine schedule, on Monday, the FDA cleared the new COVID boosters for Americans aged 6 months and older. And no doubt CDC will sign off on the recommendation for use. What's your reaction to this news?
Well, it's very, very unfortunate. You know, these vaccines that they're rolling out, the boosters that they're rolling out for the COVID-19 virus, are so woefully under-tested, especially in children. There have been no long-term safety studies in children for these vaccines, especially repeated boosters. And you know, if you count where the federal government is, now we're on, you know, shot number 8 for the COVID-19 virus. And what's being found is that with additional shots, there is more and more innate immune suppression. And so This society as a whole is becoming sicker and sicker and sicker as they participate in this experiment. And as you probably know, COVID virus is a very, very mild illness in infants and children. Mm-hmm. But there have been very, very few mortalities. I think the mortality rate is down around less than 1 in 100,000 for children that contract a COVID virus. Excuse me. So it just it seems so unnecessary, and it also just seems ludicrous that we're giving this. You know, it does not prevent transmission, it does not prevent infection, and so, you know, why would we be doing this, especially given the unknowns that are surrounding this vaccine in terms of vaccine injury and the illnesses and chronic conditions that are coming up associated with a vaccine, like cardiac sequela, like myocarditis, pericarditis, and, you know, things like stroke and deep vein thrombosis have all been associated with a COVID-19 shot. So this, to me, this really, really sounds an alarm. And I agree with the Surgeon General of the state of Florida, Dr. Joe Latipo, and he really cautioned against getting these boosters. And I'm very, very, I admire him so much. I think that took so much integrity for him to do.
There's a new vaccine that's coming around the corner, a new mRNA COVID-19 vaccine. And there's essentially no evidence for it. There's been no clinical trial done in human beings showing that it benefits people. There's been no clinical trial showing that it is a safe product for people. And not only that, but then there are a lot of red flags. So something that you don't hear much about, but we'll be talking more about, is that there are multiple studies now from around the world, Brazil, I think Australia, United States, that show that over time, these vaccines, these mRNA COVID-19 products, actually increase your chances of contracting COVID-19. That's not normal.
You know, I'm glad that there are voices that are speaking into this, that are giving an alternative viewpoint, that are actually looking at things like vaccine injury.
It's so surprising that he's just one of 50 other surgeon generals who actually sees serious issues with these shots, and the 49 others are silent. Isn't it bizarre?
It's absolutely stunning. And to me, it's like the little boy that stood up and said, "Oh, the emperor's wearing no clothes." and I think that there's so much pressure in the medical profession to fall in line, you know, with, you know, the standard of care. And the standard of care from the very beginning, throughout the mouth of Dr. Anthony Fauci, has been vaccinate, vaccinate, vaccinate. Even when we didn't have a vaccine yet, he was still saying, "Wait for the vaccine, wait for the vaccine, don't treat. Provide supportive care." And so I think that there's so much inertia around this lie regarding the vaccine that it's very, very difficult for medical professionals, unless there's somebody like Dr. Joe Latipo, who is so incredibly brave and has so much integrity.
Mm-hmm. Getting back to your book, you've done such a remarkable job providing a compendium of more than 100 peer-reviewed studies comparing the health outcomes of vaccinated versus unvaccinated adults and children. Have you analyzed the health outcomes of people vaccinated against COVID versus those who were not?
Well, we actually found about 30 studies, Mr. Kennedy and I, on individuals that received the COVID-19 vaccine compared to individuals that did not receive the COVID-19 vaccine. And that was really the criterion for being able to include the study in the book. We wanted every study in the book to have an unvaccinated control. That was really our goal in finding these studies. And we found so many around the COVID-19 vaccine, around especially the Pfizer and the Moderna vaccine, which are mRNA technologies. This is a completely new vaccination technology. And so there were many, many studies showing the long-term effects and showing statistically significant relationships between getting the vaccine and things like cardiac illnesses, cardiac complications, myocarditis, especially in adolescent and young adult males, really, really jumped off the screen. Some of the risks associated with getting the vaccine or getting the vaccine and then getting boosted were upwards to 20, 25 times higher of receiving or getting a diagnosis of myocarditis than if you were completely unvaccinated. So we're not looking at something that's a really small effect. We're looking at something that is very, very widespread. And, you know, I fear there have been some individuals, I believe it was Dr. Peter McCullough, that said upwards to 2% of all the population that received that vaccine could be diagnosed with myocarditis. That these are really, really big numbers. And so, you know, the COVID-19 vaccine also was associated with shingles incidents and shingles coming up, especially right after they received the vaccine. It was associated with Bell's palsy, so neurological complications. And in addition, other types of cardiac circulatory disorders, blood clotting, deep vein thrombosis, ischemic stroke, all really, really popped out of the page and are associated statistically significant. That was the bar that we set, is that there had to be a statistically significant difference between the incidence of these disorders in the unvaccinated versus the vaccinated. And we tried to really break this down in charts that showed the difference, showed bar graphs showing the difference. And really, you know, probably the most scary chapter to me was the COVID-19 chapter, and also another chapter that included outcomes of pregnant women who received the COVID-19 vaccine.
And what did you find in that regard?
Well, one of the things that we found initially is that the CDC's own database for reporting vaccine adverse events, it's called VAERS, or the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System, we saw really that literally exploded as soon as the COVID-19 vaccine was introduced. There were, you know, if you look at the overall history of that database, and they've counted, been counting vaccine injuries for over 32 years, there have been three times as many miscarriages associated with the COVID-19 vaccine than the rest, all the vaccines combined in that database over the 32-year history of that database. So miscarriages have really, really gone through the roof. Other pregnancy complications like hemorrhage, I believe, let's see, I have to go back and think of some of the graphs, but I believe things like gestational diabetes, and then looking at fertility parameters, that was another thing that we were very, very concerned about, because there was a Japanese release of data. It was actually Pfizer data showing that the lipid nanoparticles from their vaccine would hyperaccumulate in women's ovaries. And so fertility problems in the VAERS database have jumped off the map. You look at the entire history of VAERS compared to the COVID-19 shot, there are 10 times as many reports of fertility disorders as compared to the rest of the history of that database. So really, something is desperately wrong here.
But the CDC has been routinely dismissing its own system, right? Saying that, well, it's not really reliable. And they said it was overreported, even though previously they said it was underreported. And now they even shut down any reporting related to COVID vaccines. And oh my gosh, it was V-safe. They shut That's down correct. V-safe. And yeah, now people only can use VAERS for this purpose. So why did you feel like you needed to undertake such a serious effort rather than trusting healthcare agencies that, you know, they unequivocally say that vaccines are rigorously tested to ensure that they are safe and effective and are essential to building immunity against life-threatening diseases? They say that the most fantastic safety testing is underway every step of the way. Why not trust them?
Well, we really have been asking the government to do a vaccinated versus unvaccinated comparison for almost 20 years. I started this quest in terms of my son's own vaccine injury that happened in 1999 and have been asking the federal government to do this study since 2001. And in fact, in 2017, Mr. Kennedy met directly with Francis Collins and Anthony Fauci in the National Institutes of Health Executive Office. And that was a specific question that Mr. Kennedy asked them. Where are the studies? Where are the studies where you did an unvaccinated control? And of course, Dr. Fauci was like, oh, we've done these studies, and they wheeled in carts that had papers, scientific papers in them. And he rifled through all of these papers, and he could not find one vax-unvax study. And flustered, he finally said, oh, I'll just email them to you. Well, that never really happened. And so Mr. Kennedy approached me in 2019 and said, let's look at the National Library of Medicine. Let's look at the PubMed database, and we'll find some of these vaccinated versus unvaccinated studies, see if they're hiding in plain sight. And so I originally just thought, oh, we'll find a few. And I would break down the studies for Mr. Kennedy, and then he would feature them on his Instagram and Facebook account starting in 2019. Well, we found 60 studies. And I was utterly flabbergasted that there were so many vax-unvax studies that had been done in the open literature that were just, some of them were just hiding in plain sight. And so Mr. Kennedy kept on featuring these Instagram posts of these vax-unvax studies. And then he was deplatformed by Instagram and Facebook in 2021. So we looked at each other and said, this is a book. So we continued to do our research. Mr. Kennedy would send me studies. I would look for studies. And we wanted to encapsulate sort of the COVID-19 era. And then 100 studies later, then here we have the book. And so we want to show the studies that the government dare not do and the CDC really, really refused to do. And display those and put those in the hands of practitioners, parents, interested laypersons, scientists, medical officers, public health officials, to really, really show these where the studies are, and hopefully eventually encourage the federal government. They can do the studies themselves. They have the data. They have the CDC vaccine safety data link. They could do this study tomorrow if they wanted to. There are unvaccinated people in that database. And so there's no reason not to do this study. And so hopefully, eventually the government will do this study. It really, really needs to be done. And, you know, that's really one of the reasons why we compiled this book.
Yes, because in the book you cover not just COVID vaccines, like you said, you addressed vaccines related to pregnancies, pregnancy vaccines that are administered to children. So there are various categories recommended for both children and adults in America. Could you explain how you determined which vaccines to include in your analysis?
Well, what we did, the main criterion was it had to be a vax-unvax study. And so when we compiled these 100 studies, these were really the only true vax-unvax studies that we could find. Mm-hmm. And so there were some issues where we felt necessary to feature them. We found 4 or 5 studies regarding vaccination and Gulf War illness. And it's a shorter chapter, but it was very, very important. And we saw these studies that really showed that Gulf War illness was happening in veterans who were vaccinated, who were never deployed to the Gulf War. And so, you know, we would find these vignettes, these stories that were so interesting, you know, that we want to include the birth hepatitis B shot, the MMR vaccine, the HPV vaccine, And so we would build these stories or build these vignettes around these specific vaccines. One of the things that was dissatisfying, though, was there were some vaccines like the DTaP, the diphtheria, tetanus, acellular pertussis. We could find no studies, no vax-unvax studies on that particular vaccine. And to me, that's criminal. That shouldn't happen. And so there is, you know, we've had people comment, where's the DTaP chapter? And we're like, it's missing, because that information is thoroughly missing. Even the Institute of Medicine in 2013 said that there was not enough data to rule out a relationship between the DTaP vaccine and autism. And so that's really, really an indictment. And, you know, although we found 100 studies, there's still holes. There are still massive, massive holes in the vaccination schedule and issues that need to be studied that have never been studied.
Now, let's talk about the vaccination schedule for children. It's just enormous. I'm not sure how many vaccines it is included right now, like close to 70, I suppose, that American children need to get by the age of 18. What's your comments on that? And what were your key findings regarding that?
Well, I'm very, very concerned about the bloated vaccination schedule. When I count vaccines and vaccine antigens, then I find between the years of 0 and 18 years of age, there are 73 vaccines given. Some 21 to 26 are given in the first year of life. In well baby checkups, in some individuals, they're receiving as many as 6 vaccines at a time. Okay, these have not been tested together. We do not know what happens when you give a 2-month-old, a 4-month-old, a 6-month-old, a 12-month-old, 6 vaccines at the same time. We could not find any studies on the synergistic toxicity of those vaccines. So again, it was a really, really big hole. But what we found was with the modern vaccination schedule, that children who were participating and who were fully vaccinated had much higher risk, 5 times higher risk of autism, about 27 times higher risk of having chronic ear infections. Asthma was also very, very high. ADD, ADHD, I believe the risk was 20 times higher in those vaccinated individuals. And so when you see these stark differences in the bar graphs, it really sort of displays, you know, what happens when these children are participating in what I would call a grand medical experiment. The government has not tested these together. They will readily admit that they've not tested these together, but they speak out of both sides of their mouth. When they admit they haven't studied them together, they also say that they're safe and effective. And so how can they make that statement?
What's the objective of this experiment? How do you think? I mean, it's speculative, of course. Nobody knows what they're thinking, really.
Well, things really changed in the vaccination program with the passing of the 1986 National Childhood Vaccine Injury Act. Okay, that really erected a liability shield so vaccine manufacturers could no longer be sued for injuries. Okay, so if a child has a vaccine injury, then they go through a no-fault program through the federal government called the National Vaccine Injury Compensation Program. Very, very few cases get compensated. My own son, we were in that program for 16 years before we were thrown out of the program and denied. And so one of the things that has become very evident is that vaccines are big business. If ACIP, the Advisory Committee for Immunization Practices, approves a vaccine to the schedule, then the market share, the base sales of that vaccine will be $1 billion per year minimum. Okay. So these vaccines are big business. And, you know, I think that a lot of them are being added to the schedule unnecessarily. We're seeing that mortality levels of these infectious diseases were on the decrease due to sanitation even prior to these vaccines being introduced. And I think, you know, there's just so much money that is driving this, so much money tied up in the FDA. You know, the FDA is through their fast track program, about 45% of all the revenues that are obtained by the FDA come from pharmaceutical companies. So that's a captured agency. That is, you know, that's an agency that is really, really looking at approving as many, many medications, as many, many vaccines. And unfortunately, now we're in this epidemic of chronic illnesses in the United States. And I don't think it's a coincidence. I really, really don't. If you look at every dollar spent on medical care in the United States, 86 cents of that dollar goes towards treating chronic disease. Okay, so we don't have an infectious disease problem in the United States. We have a chronic disease problem in the United States, and we have a bloated vaccination schedule. According to my information, those that are participating in that vaccination schedule have more chronic diseases.
Looking ahead, what do you believe are the logical implications of your findings for public health policies?
Well, I really hope that public health officials will read this book and we'll take a step back and look at this grand medical experiment and start to exercise more and more caution. And that parents and practitioners will work together and make good decisions based on all of the information, based on all their healthcare. You know, I'm a PhD. I don't give medical advice. You know, I ask people, well, should we get this? People ask me, should we get this vaccine? Should we, participate in the vaccination schedule? I don't answer. I say, look, I want you to take all the information and have frank conversations with your own practitioner. And that I hope that conversations are happening at the highest levels of individuals who will really, really wake up and see this for what it is and see that it is woefully under-tested. And so two things really need to happen. We have to really, really rethink how we're practicing vaccination in the United States, and we really need adequate testing. There needs to be a reform of the entire Department of Health and Human Services in order to take out agency capture, in order to take out the incentivization by the pharmaceutical industry, because there's so much money driving this. And so I really hope that the book will inspire that type of reform.
Dr. Hooker, I would like to thank you so much for your fantastic work, and I would like to thank you for your time today. Please tell us what's the best way to follow you and your work, and what's the best place to get this book?
Well, the best way to follow me and my work is to go to childrenshealthdefense.org, all one word, childrenshealthdefense.org, and you can click on the science page and you can see what we're doing in science and research. As far as the book is concerned, I hate to point people to the evil empire, but I'm asking people that if they buy the book on Amazon, that will really increase our rating. By increasing our rating, then it increases the reach of the book. We want the book, Mr. Kennedy and I really, really want the book to be sold far and wide. And so that really improves it. If you don't like Amazon, then you can also buy it at other booksellers like barnesandnoble.com.
This is fantastic. Thank you, Dr. Hooker. That was Brian Hooker, everyone. Thank you so much for watching. I'm Veronica Kirilenko of the New American Magazine.
Freedom is the cure.
You're dead on. This is the largest experiment performed on human beings in the history of the world.
The more you know.
What they're doing is they're forcing vaccination on people, and I believe they are killing people with this vaccination.
The freer you are.
It's murder. They are basically murdering people in hospitals.
The all-cause mortality, we know, is now higher in the vaccinated group than the unvaccinated group.
Stay informed on the issues that affect freedom. Get a subscription to The New American today, thenewamerican.com.